Welcome to an Oasis podcast. In this new episode and the last episode of season two, we've got a special guest on the show tonight. One of the makers and minds of Control Esports, it's Asterix. Welcome to the podcast. Tell us about yourself.
Hello, it's good to be here. My name's Ben, or Asterix is my gamer tag. I'm one of the four owners of Control. There's me, Will, George and Harry. I'm more focused on the business side of things and the teams, sort of, whereas the others focus on the separate departments like marketing, which I'm not particularly good at, I must say, but, you know, we all do our own things, all cogs in the machine.
Okay, and tell us a bit about, like, you know, how you got, like, how you became, like, you know, one of the people behind Control. Like, how does that start?
I've known Harry, one of the other owners, for quite a long time. We've known each other since, I think, we're like 1 or 2 years old. Our, like, families were quite good friends with each other. But we went to college, did esports in college, met Will. Knew George from primary school, but met Will and George there again. Then we kind of, you know, did our college course, played games together, kind of that, got more close as a group of friends, really. And there was an assignment for one of the modules within our course that was talking about esports orgs as a business. So we kind of thought, you know, why don't we give it a go? We made it kind of a passion project to start with. Kind of picked up once we got more rosters within Valorant, because that was my favorite game at the time, still is. But I built some rosters around Valorant. Saw some of them at Epiland, to be fair, some of the old players. It was a good meeting up with them, but it kind of just all revolved around Valorant, which is why we're still in today. We try and keep to our roots.
Okay. But what kind of brings you to Valorant, like, as an esport? What made you, like, you know, what made Valorant stand out to you?
I mean, the main thing's got to be just because I played it. I mean, the other three kind of played Rocket League a bit more, but we'd all play Valorant together. So we kind of just saw it as a game where we all knew a little bit. I know a little bit more than them, but we enjoyed watching it all together. Like, it was one game where we could all watch it together, all play it together, and we kind of all have fun with that kind of yeah. game. Whereas Rocket League, I was absolutely terrible at it, so I did not have fun playing that one whatsoever. But yeah, we filled our first roster in Valorant, you know, kind of just put out a post saying we're looking for players, had some people sign up. Definitely not as many people as we would today if we were looking for trials, but so kind of no-name talent, you know, like younger players kind of signed up, and yeah, from there we just kept getting better and better rosters. Mm-hmm.
And look at you now, you're about to go into Eclipse, which is some exciting stuff, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It's definitely a milestone that we've been wanting to get for a while. Hopefully, you know, we'll get past Eclipse, but it's definitely been the closest we've been to Tier 2 in our time as an organisation, so it is. We are on the cusp of getting Polaris. Just need that final step.
How close would you say you are to, in terms of, like, you know, like, scoring and stuff, like, what teams do you think will be quite a challenge this season?
Well, I mean, I think this season, in my opinion, easily has some of the best talent we've seen in terms of, like, team-wise. I think a lot of the teams this season are taking it a lot more seriously, especially with the reset. It's kind of everyone's big chance to get in, but I think a lot of the teams will be, you know, pretty, like, it'll be like a landslide. We've been pracking a lot. We've got the staff to back the team. I believe in our players a lot. They're all very good individually, and as a team, I think they're quite a cohesive unit. I think the teams we're struggling against the most would be the ones where they were invited, you know, the old Tier 2 teams. So there's yourself, there's the Ruddy roster, which I think is a kind of a mix of some of the old players. I can't remember what the other ones are signed to, but just those old Tier 2 teams. I think NXT are also a strong contender, but I think we'll be able to push past them as we have done previously in Premier. So there's my view on that. But I guess we'll see on the day. You know, everything could change on the day. You could be having an off day. You could be having a great day. So we'll have to see. But my hopes are high.
True, and also, like, it depends on the maps as well and stuff. Like, do you think, like,
you've got,
like, a favourite map that your team likes to play?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite sure. We've been practicing, you know, a lot of maps with the new pool changes as well. But practicing a lot of maps, I think we'll probably be quite comfortable on most maps, but I won't reveal too much of what maps we favour, because Yeah, I think we'll be quite dominant on any map we play. I've seen some of the scrims, I've been watching some of the scrims, and I'm quite confident that any map we get good at, like, even if it's not our favourite, I think we'll be able to absolutely make it our own and push to the limits.
Yeah, as you were saying about Ruddy Esports, it's interesting because our team is quite like similar to Ruddy Esports, because Ruddy Esports is has Ianto and some Sweet and Sour players as well. And they also have Harambe as well. They were also on Requiem, and some of those players were also on Sweet and Sour. And it's the same like thing with Oasis as well. Some of them were on Sweet and Sour, and some of them were on Requiem. So
yeah,
this is kind of like a Secret Wars matchup. So it's kind of like, you know, like Spider-Man meets Spider-Man, pretty much. So
It's definitely, I think those are two rosters where we're gonna have to watch out for, because obviously both very experienced, both come from pretty strong teams. But I wonder, like, you know, the mixes as well. I mean, I think that probably even take them a little bit better, to be fair. I'm looking at the mixes now, like, you know, Deck, Famzan, Toba, Porky Chop, all true. Good players.
Yeah.
I think together they could definitely be a force to reckon with. So that's why I think Ruddy and your team, obviously Oasis, will probably be two of the teams where it'll be an interesting match to watch. But like, whoever you play, kind of, as well as if we play you, I think it'll be a really good game to watch. But, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll get tier two, but if not, you know, let's put on a show. Let's give the audience what they want, make a good match, make a good spectacle out of it.
I think even if you don't get to, like, you know, Plow's kickoff, I think you're definitely secured for, what's it called, Eclipse, like, 2025. I think that's definitely going to happen. You've got a solid roster at the core, and that's, like, you know, like, because, like, you've got some old Yaru players on the team as well, haven't you? So,
yeah.
But
so, yeah, we got Marky, which was Control. He was in Control for quite a while. Some of the Yari players, Hax played in some other regions, but yeah, I mean, it's a good roster for sure. Like, it's definitely, I think, you know, I wouldn't even be mad with the third, fourth, but I know they're good enough to get a first place. So I'll say they're going to get first place. I believe in the boys, but yeah, you know, you can't be mad with a third, fourth, because at least you get an invite back, I suppose. But
exactly, and then you're basically secure at least in the clips. That, like, you know, you still take that. I'd rather take that, you know, than like nothing. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I really like what you did with Control and, like, Yari. You kind of merged together to, like... Is that kind of, like, you know, to help with, like, finances, would you say? Or, like, you know, just more...
I don't know. I mean, it's like not neither one of us are really struggling financially, but okay. we kind of said, you know, like, we're quite similar in the ways we post on social media. Mm. We even had the same graphics designer at first. We've got the same social media manager now. I can't remember how the conversation even came about. I think we were just talking about maybe doing like an event together or something that just never happened. But yeah, I was having a call with Drew, and then, you know, I proposed the idea. I think it was when I came back from the Dota 2 finals in Birmingham, I think it was. I saw, you know, G2X IG or something like that had a joint team, and I kind of gave him the idea of, once we did this for Valorant, you kind of see it in tier one a little bit more, where, you know, movie star Koi, that kind of stuff. But I thought if we do it in tier three, we could put double the resources into the team, double the social media presence, and, you know, kind of really push like a tier two, kind of try and push towards tier two together. That was like the main idea behind it.
So you're basically like saying if you can't beat them, join them. Like, as both of you, in a sense. From the sound.
Yeah, essentially,
like,
yeah.
It's quite smart because, like, you know, you two are one of the top teams in, like, the UK. So I've always liked the concept. I also like what Yari's doing with Fortnite as well. But yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Because it's nice. I do really want, like, you know, people to get more involved with, like, you know, those kind of games. I feel like team games are so, like, more pushful in esports, but, like, you know, less people don't actually focus on those, like, more like one player esports, I think. I think there's more of a, because you, in esports, you need a team for, like, those team games. Like, you need it to be part of an org, really, to get, like, you know, higher up, I'd say. But for the solo player games, like, what's it called? Like, let's say Smash Bros. Or, like, Fortnite, you don't need a team. But, like, you know, it helps. But it's nice, what's it called, that there's still an esports presence, like, when it comes to those games, too. But I feel like
for sure, yeah.
less of like a need for a team, but I feel like, you know, it kind of should still be like, you know, something there, because I feel like there is ways to like provide like support for a player and stuff. But yeah, the only thing I don't like about Fortnite is what's it called, like, you know, there's only so much an esports team can get involved with, because everything's online, so there's only so much you can help with, unless you're like, you know, you've got like an FNCS player that you have to like help with to get to events or something. That kind of makes sense. But
yeah, I mean, we also started with some Fortnite players when we started Control as well. There's not, like, they kind of can just do their own thing, really. Like, there's not a whole lot you can help them with, especially when it's just they're only playing online tournaments. Like, you know, with the Bionity, you can offer, you know, like Epic Land funding, support for that, and things like that. But yeah, with Fortnite, you know, you can maybe do a boot camp, but if it's only a solo player, is there really much point? Like,
no, I guess not really.
If they do, like, there's some in person events at the higher tiers of Fortnite, but when you're just kind of potting around in these like cash cup online things, all you can really do is provide them with some social presence. You know, try and get their name out there a little bit more, and they can use you as a kind of stepping stone to maybe get noticed a little bit more by a bigger organization. Because at least then you can have the credit of, you know, we were the org that got this person there, or we assisted in getting them there. Because obviously, you know, it's not all just down to an org; it's down to a player as well. Like, a lot of it is just the player pushing their brand a lot.
Yeah, because it's quite hard starting out as a player. Because
yeah, definitely.
When you start out as well, you don't know anyone in the scene, so you have to network. Like, I feel like, you know, networking gets you a lot more opportunities than just like, you know, trying to be good at the game. Like, sure, being good is great, what's cool, but you can get so much further if you're actually just like meeting people and just like reacting to people and stuff, in a sense. Like, you can have like some level of school, like, don't get me wrong, of course you need to be good for esports, but like, you also want to have that kind of like presence as well, because if you don't have that presence, yeah, it's kind of like useless. Because you could be like one of those like underground like teams, like those like you know, those ranked demons that you always see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, I think branding is a big one within anything, like for orgs, players, everything. Like, branding in esports is like actually huge. Like, we're starting off as a player, obviously no one's gonna know who you are. Like, you need to make a name for yourself, and one of those big things you can do is just creating like a personal brand that is actually strong. You push it as best you can. You do all the networking at like things like Epic Land, where you kind of just, you talk to the players that are there, you talk to the teams, you kind of try and befriend them, get yourself known. And I think that's one of the best ways to do it. And that's why, like, when we started out, obviously Control, we had no funding behind us. It was just a group of like 16-year-old students that had, like, you know, I just got my part-time job. All we could really offer players was, you know, we'll help you push your personal brand on our social media channels. And even then, our social media wasn't anywhere near as good as it is now.
What was, like, you know, the younger, like, Control like? Like, how did it feel to, like, run Control back in the day? Like, you know, the OG times, like... Because everyone has that kind of memory of, like, starting a team, what's called, like, you know, the triumphs, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a lot different to now, because now, obviously, it's more like an actual business. But before, it was kind of like a hobby. I mean, I still say, you know, I'm still having fun running it and things like that. I'm not planning on stopping anytime soon, but definitely a lot less stressful, I'd say. You know, now we were kind of having to do all the company's house stuff, which is why, I don't know if you saw my Twitter, I said I'd do some videos on helping people do that.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about what's cool is, like, you know, like, it's quite, I wouldn't recommend it to every org, because it's such a big thing, like, you know, Polaris telling people what's cool. That's the only thing I don't like about Polaris offering that. I understand, like, the whole tax and, like, you know, it's because it's an international event, it makes sense. But at the same time, I kind of, like, you know, don't like that Polaris is enforcing that, because a lot of people don't realize what they're signing up for. Sure, it costs like £10 to make a company, but there's also so much behind that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually hate how the government, like, does the company shit. Like,
yeah, cause that's why I wanted to do the video, because, you know, a lot of these teams are kind of just signed up as companies just to, you know, be eligible for it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they realise it's not just as simple as paying the £10 or £20, however much it is, to sign up. You know, you've got to submit your accounts. If they're wrong, you're going to get fined. If you submit them late, you're going to get fined. We're not talking about like £5 or £10 here. We're talking about a minimum £200 for each one. You know, you have to submit loads and loads of documents within the first few months. You have to pay GDPR subscriptions, because you are, you know, you've got the personal information of the players. You need to pay to protect that information. Mm. You know, business bank accounts, you can't just funnel the money through your personal account. You're going to need a business bank account to keep track of everything. There's just a lot of factors where I think a lot of teams didn't think about it. So I'm going to try and, you know, go through that, kind of explain a little bit more, talk about, you know, from our experience. Like, we were very close to getting fined, because we didn't know we had to sign up for corporation tax 3 months in registering your business. Otherwise, you can get fined a lot of money.
Yeah.
But luckily, I got it on the deadline.
We got fined.
Yeah. What, for the corporation tax stuff? Yeah.
We set it up right, yeah. But like, what's it called? Like I think it was like about 4 or 5 months ago. We didn't realize. You know how like there's like, you know, so many statements you have to make each time. Like there's one for like a week's like statement, and then there's one for like a whole year, and then there's one for like a week, and then there's one for a year. We missed one, but it was like for like only 7 days, like just a record of 7 days only. I was like, why couldn't you just have that as a year? And we didn't. We just slipped under our noses because I saw it as I read it. I thought it was 20th of May, 2023, and I thought like that was the year one that we'd already done because that it was like the same date, what's it called, but followed on by another bit. And it was only for 20th of May to 31st of May, and I found it kind of stupid that we have to put, you know, a record for 11 days in when we'd already done it for a year. I mean, not that we wouldn't have done it, what's cool, if we'd saw it, but yeah.
Oh, wait, is that because it was your first year of accounts or whatever?
It was.
So you had to submit two forms.
Yeah, I think it was like, actually no, I think it was our second year. But yeah, because we've been on track of it for quite a bit of time, but we just slipped under our noses, which was like, oof. But yeah, but teams out there, do not always check, because like, that penalty is not fun. That is not a fun penalty to deal with. I'm just saying. Not. I appealed the last penalty I got, but yeah. And luckily, that's gone now, so I'm glad about that. But yeah, cause you can call up the company's house and basically say, I didn't realise that there was one and this is my first year. And some of them are quite sympathetic about it. If you just write them a letter as well. But yeah, obviously, they don't like if you're a repeat offender, but if you make sure you like appeal it and just pay it off and like submit your accounts as soon as possible, they will like, you know, try and like, you know, understand. But yeah
definitely. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people don't know. I mean, I don't know, I think the YouTube videos, because I'm still learning most of it, but I just thought I'd do some videos on not only the business stuff but also kind of like pitch decks as a whole as well. I'm by no means the expert on pitch decks, but I thought I'd go through some of the stuff that, you know, we've included in ours, some of the stuff that I've learned from doing the esports course at uni and at college and things like that.
Yeah,
just trying to help other people out, because Well, you know, other esports orgs are a competition. I think competition is always a good thing.
Like, true.
I think it pushes you further to do well. Like, I think I'd always measure ourselves against orgs like K10 and Yari before. I'd always tell Will and George, you know, like, we're falling behind. You know, they're doing this, they're doing that. How are we going to push ourselves to go further? And I think competition is a good way to ensure you're motivated, ensure you're keeping up with change. I don't know, put an effort in, I guess, because that's what an esports org requires. It's not all just about putting in millions and millions from investors. It's just putting time and effort into it. And actually, I don't know, creating something unique that people resonate with.
Yeah, and it's a shame about K10 as well. Because, like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
I see you took some of their creators after they left. So, yeah, you got a few of those. That was a good move. I like that. But, yeah. But there's also the ICO thing as well. The information, like, tax thing, that the £40 thing you gotta pay every year. That slips, like, people's, like, you know, thing as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? The ICO thing? Have you had to pay
ICO?
That?
I don't know if I have. I don't know. I know we're on top of everything, but...
But normally every year, what's called, they get you to pay it. It's like £40 for, like, if you collect information on your team or something, or if you have any information.
Oh, like the GDPR stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like any like personal data and stuff. Yeah. We paid that one.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, God, that one's.
Yeah, like any letters come through, you go, like, I don't know. I think one thing I can recommend, because for some reason the government still loves sending letters, because I guess I don't know, it's more secure or something. I don't really know, but buy a binder, just something that you can organize these, like, for, like, a folder, just anything you can organize these, like, letters you get, because they are important. You should probably keep hold of them.
True.
The first thing we did as soon as we got our letter, we got a massive folder. Yeah, we just organized it. So we got like a thing just for yearly stuff we had to pay for, like reminders.
Okay.
We got another one just for like company information, like, you know, your government gateway code, things like that. But yeah, just organization is key for all this stuff, because there is actually so much stuff you need to do. It's not sunshine and rainbows. You know, you pay your £20 to a company. Yeah, good job. I think that's one of the reasons why Polaris have done this is because after the first year, they're going to see a lot of these companies that have just signed up drop absolutely to the ground if they don't do what they're meant to. But I also think it's security for the players because obviously, you know, I don't want to name their name, but EO, you know, they didn't pay their players their money.
Ah, yes.
But if you're a business, you're legally, you know, if you have a contract, anything, you can legally be taken to small claims court if you're not paying people money. So.
True. Was the esports organization an actual organization?
I don't know. I don't think they were, but I mean, I also don't think they had a contract. Like, I think it was all just in a call to players and organizations. Make sure you just get a written agreement, just something you can both sign, which just says, it doesn't even need to be that, like, you know, legally binding, that official. Just say, you know, we offer this, you offer that, and just, you know, sign it both. Just then you can hold each other accountable. That's my main recommendation for any teams you sign. A lot of players will be like, oh, I'm not getting a salary, I'm not going to sign a contract. The contract should also benefit you. It should be fair. You know, get someone to check over it. Get your parents to check over it. You know, get your, like, neighbour. Get someone, your teacher, your lecturer, your mum, your aunt. Just someone to check over it with you. And then, yeah, like, it should be fair. It should benefit you as well as the organisation.
And you want, like, you know, someone who's, like, outside of, like, esports or someone else, like, to look over your shoulder with.
Yeah, exactly.
Because... like, it's all exciting for you that you're getting this offer, right? But because you're so excited about the offer, right, you won't be thinking about the consequences or the negatives of the contract. So it's always nice to have someone, like, you know, from an outside perspective to look at it. So that's one. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, one thing that you could do, which I don't always recommend because it's sometimes wrong, but you could always just put a contract into ChatGPT and just ask it questions about the contract. It can normally give you some basic answers, but I do recommend read through it properly. Get someone else to read through it that has no idea what this org is, because I don't know, someone that's unbiased.
True.
Like, that doesn't really know what you should, I don't know what, like, because there's a basic contract that all esports orgs kind of use, the same kind of format. You kind of want someone where, this is why I think your parents are better, because they will have your best intentions at heart. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll look through the contract and make sure it's actually safe. But any contract, like, I still get my mum to look over it, I don't care. I'll read through it myself, but I still get my mum and dad to look at, you know, I'm 19. But it's always best to get a second opinion, because you might just miss something from, you know, like you said, the excitement of wanting to join the team. You might miss something or just think, oh, it's not that important, but it could be quite important.
Yeah, because I can imagine as a young player, you just want to start and join a team, because imagine how long you've been waiting as well. You just want to, like, get over and done with. Just to have
the amount of times you see on, like, Twitter, like, all these, like, contract things, like, even with, like, do you remember the Tfue one? Where, like, I think with FaZe is getting, like, absolutely, like, even that, like, I don't know, but if an org's getting 80% of your money, you're doing something wrong.
True.
Especially if you're playing online. If it's an online tournament, do not settle for 80%, unless you're getting some really fat salary, and even then, maybe not. But I think the majority of tier 3, especially Valorant, which is the one I know most about, will probably just have, I think most contracts will have, like, an online, the org will have an online take and then a LAN take as well. So I know for the ones that I go to, the Yari players, I basically said, read through it, let me know if you're not happy. But I always, every contract I give anyone in any, like, division of game is, we'll take X amount if it's an online tournament, and then it's normally quite a low amount. And then we'll take X amount for a LAN event, because obviously if it's a LAN event we paid for, we'd want to kind of try and make a little bit more back from that.
Yeah, we talked about that, and it's quite a fair contract. I'm surprised, because, like, a lot of orgs, like, you know, want, like, maybe 30% and stuff, and, like, I've heard, like, you know, some orgs like EXO have that. So you're often quite a good deal for those players. But what is, like, some no-nos you would, like, say to, like, organisations about contracts? Like, what, like, what are you against, basically?
I think one thing I'm against is, I think buyouts are fine, right? Yep. But putting people in a massive contract locked when you're in tier 3 is, in my opinion, a bit of a strange thing to do. Like, I'm not being funny. I think if your player has a better offer, you should try and support that player to get that offer. For one, it looks good on you. You know, let's say I've got Marky, and then Liquid call him tomorrow and say, oh, we want to sign him. And I go, oh, sorry, he's in a contract for 6 months. I would rather him go to Liquid, because for one, I actually care. Like, if you want to join an org, look for an org that actually cares about you, for one. I want Marky to go as far as he can. Even if it's not with us, I can still say, you know, look at Marky. That was my bloody player. Look at us go, you know. For two, I don't know. Why would you want a lot of players anyway? Because if they're underperforming, like if they want an elite, it's only because the team's underperforming. So surely you'd kind of want to look at your options as well. Three, I don't know, just a bit of a twat move, really.
Yeah.
I think buyouts are fine. Don't make it outrageous. But even then, you know, always check with the player if they're happy with the contract.
True. Yeah, okay. So what are some things like that you wouldn't want an organization to put in a contract? Not like cons, but more like stuff that, you know, like can like bankrupt an org.
I think don't promise something for one that you don't have.
Oh, look, esports organization.
There's also, I don't know if you saw our Twitter, but we picked up a CS team out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. For Waze.
Because they were promised.
Waze or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't want to throw shade, but from what my understanding is, they were promised things. And, you know, sometimes stuff happens, but the org wasn't able to deliver it, so the players weren't happy. And then one of them had to be someone that I know from uni. So I just said, yeah, feel free to just play under us, you know, we'll post about you and stuff. Mm. Yeah, never promise things you don't have. I think in all of ours, it says we'll ensure hotel standards. We'll pay for this. Yeah. If it like for an event, if it's like signed off, like each event has to be signed off. Like, don't just say, because a contract is legally binding. If you say, oh, we're gonna like, if you just write, we're gonna pay for events they attend, then any event they attend, they can ask you for money, because like that is basically what you've written. You need to be very specific in a contract. You need to be able to, you know, kind of see it as your legal backup in case someone says you owe them money for something that you shouldn't owe them money for. Like, it should always be able to, it's for, to protect you and to protect the players, a contract is meant to be. It's not just like to say, oh, we're going to get this money. It's to protect you, like both parties, from unfair, you know, legal action, things like that.
Yeah, I feel like most players should be in a contract on a team. Like, even if it's like, you know, I feel like a lot of tier 3 people don't like contracts mainly because of the shady, like, ideas behind them. But I feel like it's a lot more safer to be on a contract rather than a gentleman's agreement. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a stigma around contracts that is like, oh, if I sign this, you know, I'm going to be stuck with this org for X amount of time.
Well, you just got to read it.
No, just... Yeah, just read the contract. Make sure it doesn't say in there, you know, you got to fucking stay with us for the next 200 years. Otherwise, then, yeah, maybe don't sign that one. Mm. But just be honest. Like, always be honest with players. Players be honest with orgs. Just say, you know, I don't like this. Can you maybe change it? And then normally, you know, if it's a decent org, they'll just be like, yeah, no problem.
And I thought I'd move on to the next question now. And... so what sort of other games would you like to move into as Control Esports? Like, because we've seen you involved in a lot of team esports. What, like, other, like, you know, maybe single player esports would you want to get into?
I mean, at the moment, so obviously, you know, we're in Val. We have our Game Changers team as well.
Yeah.
Been in CS, kind of looking to go back in CS. But single player games, I think maybe we're looking to go back to our roots, you know, kind of copy Yara a little bit, maybe explore Fortnite a little bit more. Maybe go for some more niche games, you know, like I think Smash is a good one.
Yes.
You know, I think the community is quite strong in the UK, although Nintendo tries to break it down as much as they can.
It's not as bad, though. It's not as bad as you think. Like, it's more like...
Yeah, no, I mean, we've sponsored Smash events. Mm. We've sponsored a Smash event at our college before.
Awesome.
So I spoke to some people there. So yeah, I think it'd be quite interesting to go in like a more niche esports, where it's quite more like community-based rather than, you know, all big flashy events.
Yeah, as Oasis, we're more like on the Smash side, even though we have a Valorant team and stuff like the CS team. We more got into esports because of the Smash Bros. Like starting, because we like the grassroots aspect of like Smash Bros. And a bunch of the other FGC games. It's just the community's a lot more like involved and stuff with the thing, and like basically that's how all the esports events are run. And that's what we prefer. Some teams try to get involved, like Luminosity or maybe like Panda Global back in the past. But I like how, like, you know, community built everything is, rather than, like, you know, relying on other, like, you know, third parties to, like, you know, first party stuff to, like, run it. Because, like, I don't really like the regulations behind some of the games, you know? And you're not really going to be hindered with sponsors that much, I'd say. Because, like, you know, the only thing I don't like about, like, Riot Esports is that the sponsor limitations.
Yeah. There's a lot of limitations, like no crypto, no gambling. Well, there's quite a lot, because I remember seeing them when I was doing the charity event tournament license, because it has them all listed that you can't have them for the events either. But yeah, because I think that's one of the reasons why we kind of look towards CS as well, because sponsors, there's like way more freedom regarding what sponsors you can have in CS.
Especially the gambling and crypto sponsors, they're huge for CS teams.
Yeah.
But
I mean, obviously, I don't condone gambling, you know, gamble responsibly and whatnot. But like, they the most money is from the gambling sponsors. Because obviously, unfortunately, they do make a lot of money as companies. But I'm not saying that I'm going to sell my soul just to get a gambling sponsor. But most CS rosters do have some kind of skin gambling or just gambling in general sponsor behind them.
But, you know, now I'm kind of wanting you to get into Smash now. But, yeah.
Honestly, well, we'll have to see. You know, I'll get our Brett. What's his name? Prof. I'll get Prof. I think that's his name.
I wouldn't know.
Can't remember. I met quite a few people the one we had at our college. But, I don't know. Is it Ludwig? I think he hosts Smash events as well in America.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say you have a connection with Ludwig then, but yeah.
Oh god, I wish.
God, like, this guy's clouted, man. But yeah, but I know some Smash players as well. So yeah, if you're looking for some Smash people, I can show you some of the ropes as well for like the PR and stuff and like how it works. We have a Smash tournament in that we do, like, we're meant to do weekly with Crunch, but yeah.
Yeah, really. Pretty cool.
We like.
Yeah, we sponsored one before called Dare to Shine. I don't know if you know that one. It's just it was one we hosted at college. So we had some pretty good players. I don't know if you know who Frenzy is.
Yes, Frenzy is the one of the, I think he's the best one of the best players in the UK. I think he might be the best in the UK.
Yeah, so he played at there.
But is that Melee or is that Ultimate? Is that, I think that's Melee, right?
Yeah, Melee, yeah.
Yeah. But another reason why I like grassroots esports, and the biggest reason why, is because players are always going to events, and events are cheaper as well for Smash Bros. Like, in America, what's it called? There's so many Smash events you can, like, attend. And do you know why that's so good? That's a marketing opportunity. Right there. So they
go with
their jerseys all the time, and then that's free content for you. And free, like,
yeah, definitely. I think one of the reasons why, I don't know, like, the UK kind of suffers a little bit more, there isn't a whole lot of events for the grassroots scene, especially Valorant as well. Like, even Insomnia's gone now, you know, Epic LAN is the only one. There's that Enclave LAN. I'm not quite sure if they're going to do Valorant. But even then, like, I feel like there's not really many for any games. I think Epic LAN is kind of becoming a staple of grassroots for most things. But events are such a good way to, like, promote. Like, if you look at any, like, esports team's social media, you'll see a massive spike whenever they go to, like, an event on their, like, analytics and stuff like that.
True. We gained, like, quite a bit of followers when we went to the last Epic. It's really good for, like, teams, because you meet a lot of people, and then when your team's, like, winning as well, you just get so many followers when you go to an Epic. I think we gained, like, 100 followers last time. Maybe we have 120 with Verdi in 42. But yeah, it's a nice idea, but it's just so expensive. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, promote, like, LANs as, like, a main form of, like, you know, like, competition for teams. Because it's not... Yeah, like, there's other ways to, like, you know, like, market your team, what's called, like, you know, and get better as a team, I feel like. I feel like it's such a small part. I don't think, like, you know, it is good for your players, like, because they get, like, you know, on-stage experience vibe. But I also feel like, you know, like, surely it's not the only way for, like, a, you know, player to get better. No. And there's only so many UK teams you can go up against as well. But yeah, and so many teams have even already like faced online anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of like the whole, you know, like the teams have faced each other before. I think it's good and bad. You know, you want to go against a new competition, but I think when teams have faced each other before, it kind of puts a more, you know, narrative around the actual match. So I think it makes it a little bit more interesting. But
sorry, teams that have faced each other before.
Yeah, so I think there's like more narrative, you know, because there's previous like matches you can go off.
It's more just for
passes and stuff to talk about.
Because that was like Exo versus Team Oasis back in the day, or like, you know,
us versus Next in Line. Like, we'd always have that'd always be like a match that people would, you know, talk about and stuff like that.
It's good to be back in Valorant. I wasn't expecting to be back in Valorant for like a while. Like, when the Call of Rec Room approached me, I was like, you know what, sure. But because I don't mind, like, you know, getting back into the Valorant scene. Because it was fun being at 42, and it was also nice being at being alongside the Valorant team. Like, the only thing I recommend to a lot of orgs, is like, make sure you don't, like, you know, stretch yourself too thin in terms of, like, having like multiple stuff. Because there was a point with Oasis, right, where we had about like 6 or 5 games and stuff, and I kind of reduced the, like, amount of games we're like playing, because we had Pokemon VGC and Street Fighter at one point as well. Like, it's fun to have new games and stuff, but like, you can't really, like, you know, promote the players as well if you've got so many other things going on at the same time. So yeah, I don't think like making so many moves is always good. It's more about like consistency, I feel like. That's what I'm kind of learning.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, so I mean, at the moment we're really only in, I guess we've got our two Valorant teams, we've got the main one, and then we've got the GC team as well. But I think one thing you'd want to do is, I think it's sometimes better to kind of focus on a few different things at once rather than too much, and then put more effort into those few little things you're focusing on. Try and get those as best as they can be. So one thing, like, I think we did that I quite liked was we kind of just focused on Valorant. Like, we've always been in Valorant since the start. I think we've always, you know, our social media is like, I think most of our following is just all Valorant people, because we've just stayed consistent with the Valorant for all this time.
Do you feel like, you know, that can also be a negative as well, though?
I mean, definitely, because you're restricting yourself to, you know, like a singular fan base, sort of. So I think, you know, when we do our CS posts, they don't do it anywhere near as well as the Valorant ones, because people that follow us are there for Valorant. But I think that is kind of like the learning curve. Like, don't focus on too much, but also don't focus on too little. You've got to find like the perfect amount that you want to put your effort towards.
Because I suppose you don't think known for us, you know, like a full, like, just one game. Because, yeah, it puts you in the corner.
Yeah, because now, don't get me wrong, we're trusting Valorant. Like, you know, we could get a roster, all the players would be like, oh yeah, we we've heard of Control, you know, some of our friends have been in there, you know, we know they're trustworthy. But like, if we try and go and see us, no one's going to know who the fuck we are. Like, no players are going to randomly go, oh yeah, let's just try and Control, because they've never heard of us. But I think that's why you got to kind of diversify what games you're in, but also don't go into too many games. It's all well and good.
True.
You know, like, I think it's kind of seen as like, you know, kind of see it as like water, you know. Don't put your water in too many cups, because then otherwise you'll have like no water in 7 cups. It's better to have a little bit of water in 3 cups than no water in 7 cups, if you get what I mean. It's kind of a weird analogy, but
No, it works.
Hopefully it makes sense.
Yeah. It's just, be, you know, don't put your eggs in too many baskets. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the saying is don't put all your eggs in one basket, which I guess also ties into our point of don't put yourself in a corner of...
I messed that one up. All right.
I mean, it still adds to our point, to be fair. Like, you know, we're saying how you shouldn't just stick to one game.
Yeah, and it's the same thing for content as well. So, like, what's the plans for, like, Control Esports content?
I don't know. We've been doing a lot more recently on the content side. I mean, there's some videos. Like, I think we've got 7 videos recorded that are being edited right now. I don't know if you saw, we released an Among Us one which did pretty good. Definitely our best performer out of the video so far. So just gonna try and, I think, maybe do 2 or 3 videos a month for long form starting with this month. We're gonna try and get 2 per month out at least, and maybe hopefully 3, depending on how long videos take to edit, because obviously it will kind of depends how much footage there is. Short form content, you know, kind of dabble on that a little bit more as well. We've got a new editor just to kind of make some more personalized content for TikTok, not just stupid memes me, Will and George are thinking of on the day. I don't know, I think we want to try and do a boot camp at some point with the Valorant players. Kind of inspired by the whole K10 kind of thing, where they did a boot camp, made a lot of content around it, because I think that works quite well. You get your money's worth from the boot camp that way. Yeah, I definitely think content's something we're going to be focusing on a lot more, because as much as numbers aren't the only thing sponsors want to see, they are a big factor that plays into growth as a whole.
What do you think sponsors want to see?
I think sponsors want to see progression as well as numbers. Like, I think it's all well and good, you know, saying, oh, I've got 1 million impressions this month. But is your audience, you know, next month, is your number shit? Is your audience actually engaged in the content you're making? Because you can get 1 million impressions, you can get 2 likes. And it's unlikely, but obviously,
yep.
I think they favour something where it's a bit more personalised. So in all our pitch decks now, you know, I'm trying to do custom, like, kind of what it would look like if you actually sponsored by us. I'm making, like, you know, jerseys where with their design on it, to say, like, you know, your logo could be here, your logo would be seen here, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, if you go to Epiland, it's going to be there, you could do events, whatever. It's about painting. You want to leave the sponsor very little left to imagine. You want to be able to, like, put it all in front of them and show them exactly what it would be like to be sponsored.
Yeah, and I feel like I don't recommend, like, orgs just, like, you know, like, trying to, like, just get a sponsor immediately. Like, you know, you can't just go up to random people, like, you know. And also, I feel like, you know, the fact that some orgs also go for, like, affiliate codes, I also think I'm against that as well. I don't think orgs should, like, get affiliate codes, because I feel like that harms that brand. Like, sometimes it's alright. Like, but, like, you know the energy drink sponsors?
The classic, like, affiliate scheme.
I hate them so much. Like, I feel like most, like, orgs, like, or teams back in the day would have, like, gone for this approach, but I don't like them, mainly because it kind of, you know, makes you feel, like, quite samey, like you're kind of, like, part of just, like, some sort of hive mind or something. And I don't like how they kind of treat you. They just treat you as, like, you know, another, like, you know, just, like, person promoting your brand. And you're getting nothing out of it as well. No one's going to go on the website and use your code. It's very unlikely, you know?
I think the affiliate code thing works well for creators.
Oh yeah, but not for teams.
I think for teams, you want to go for something a bit more personal. Like, you want something a bit more physical with the sponsorship. So, you know, if you sponsor an energy drink company, you know, like, realistically, I'm going to want some of these energy drinks for LAN event that I'm going to with my players. I want them, you know, drinking those drinks. I want them being seen with the drinks. And I think the sponsor should also want that as well. But I don't know. I think another thing is, don't just make a generic pitch deck and send it to everyone. Make one that's tailored to that sponsor. Kind of think about some unique marketing activations you could do with that company. So, you know, like a drink one, obviously, you know, you could be like, oh, we're taking these to LAN, you know, we'll be doing posts about how energized we feel. Yeah, cool, well and good. But that's kind of like the obvious mass thing. I'm not going to try and, like, break down a whole pitch deck, but, you know, trying to think of some unique activations that maybe they're not seeing from other people that have approached them, and make the actual pitch personalized to them. Don't just give them the generic, oh, look at our numbers, we have jersey, you can be on jersey, you know. make the actual pitch look like, make the effort, make it look like you've actually gone out of your way to make a pitch specifically for them. Like, recently I've been kind of trying to incorporate some different, like, branding colors from them into the pitches. I've been adding, you know, their products onto the slides, been adding their logos to the slides, been, you know, making it kind of tailored to them, making our story kind of showing how your story fits their brand guidelines and brand narrative, sort of, is what you need to try and do.
So, let's say, all right, let's do an example. Like, let's say Secret Labs. Like, you wanted to have a sponsorship with Secret Labs. So let's say Control was at 100,000 followers. How would you approach Secret Labs?
Well, I think first things first, whenever you want to get a sponsor, find the best way to contact them. So, well and good, right? Sending an email. Send an email you want. The best way to do it is actually just, like, talking to people from Secret Labs that work at Secret Labs. Like, you'll get this time and time again with any like marketing course or esports course. They'll just say networking, networking, networking. And although they drone on about it, it's actually true. Like the more people you like, it's not what you know. It is the people who you know. So find a contact at the company, then make a pitch actually tailored to them. And when I mean tailored, I don't mean just saying, "Oh yeah, we sit on your chairs on stream." Like that's like, yeah, cool, bro. Like, nice. You can do that where you want. You know, be like, let's host this. You know, let's host this custom event where we're getting all these people in to do this event and making sure that, you know, their secret live chairs are shown on camera as much as they can, which is another one. I mean, you can also do some custom stuff. Like, I think one of the people, although Guild are absolutely, you know, in, you know, shits right now, but they did a lot of custom stuff with Sky. I think they've been bought out, so I think they're carrying on, but they did a lot of custom stuff with Sky, which I liked. So, I mean, I'm not going to be able to think of it off the top of my head because I'm not the most creative person ever, but you know, do these custom activations. Don't just do the generic type shit. I think events are always good because, you know, events are fun. So it's not just the sponsor having fun. You're having fun. People playing in it having fun. Someone's just getting what they want. Events get loads and loads of viewership. Like, I think on our events, we get I want to say on our most recent charity one, obviously it's a bit different because, you know, we're not doing it for the numbers. We're doing it for the charity. True. But even then, I'm pretty sure we still had, I think, 1,000 unique viewers or something like that. Like, you know, you're getting that viewership on stream. I mean, I can also talk about the EVC numbers because obviously we own half of that now. I can't remember the numbers to my head, but they're just crazy. Events do so bloody well. They're like a big upfront cost, but I think sponsors would much rather have something that promises events. So I think at the moment on our sponsor decks, I'm talking about events a lot. Because it's kind of,
but you also want it, more... you also want it to benefit your team as well, though.
Oh yeah, also you know, it's all well and good just getting money, but at the same time, you know, for one, don't go for a sponsor where you don't believe in their product, because you know, it's all well and good getting money, but at least get something that you can actually use. I think that's why things like Red Bull, Monster, any drinks, you know, you could take them to LAN, you can get your players to drink them. Yeah, but Bash, you know, you're using it. Chairs, you can use it. Give it to your content creators; it'll be on their stream. Just another, you know, product placement. People aren't going to really notice it. They'll just see it in the back of their mind. Mm-hmm. You know, tens. You see tens using a secret art chair, you're going to be like, oh, what's that chair? It's kind of subtle, kind of subtly putting it into their mind that it's there, but not making it too obvious is also a great way to kind of push stuff.
Or is it too subtle?
I think it works on some people, and I think it doesn't work on some people. I think a 10 super fan is going to go looking at darting their eyes around his room and being like, I would need that chair. I think it could be a contractual partnership of convenience for someone. So, you know, you're needing a chair, you're seeing a YouTube video, or your YouTuber's using that chair, then you might be like, oh, I'll go look at that chair. And there's other people like me where I just like to look at stuff that I can't afford, and I'll just go look at it anyway.
Oh, window shopping, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As much as I'd love to get a secret chair, unfortunately I'm in my chair that literally looks like it's come straight from the Insomnia LAN hall, so the uni lifestyle, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because you want something that also benefits your org, because as well, you got to think, because you know, the main thing, you know, as an org, I would want more so is help with LAN events.
Yeah,
because that's the big one, because that's the one that kind of kills orgs, in my opinion. But yeah, God, make sure you actually save up for it as an organization. I'll just say that, God, I think paying for it all out next time. But yeah,
yeah. So one thing we offered with our previous control roster and Valorant was we'll pay for tickets, you'll pay for hotels. That's right. I'm not gonna lie, most players are pretty reasonable when it comes to that. You're literally paying for half their event. So yeah, there's that. Look for a sponsor where they're either going to be, you know, happy to kind of fund events, maybe include on your pitch deck, you know, X amount per year plus two events, you know, you pay for us to go to two events. You can include that on your pitch deck, but also just maybe when you get money, kind of before you get a final number, kind of think, what am I actually going to do with the money? What do I need to spend it on? And use that to kind of base your pricing off. Because I'm not gonna lie, you're not gonna get you're not gonna get 30 grand or something from a sponsor at this kind of level. You might be lucky if you get a few thousands. Just kind of think, like, before you even get the money, what am I going to do with that money? What do I need? And then what do I want? Like, right now, all Control really needs is, you know, we have our Twitter blue, our domain. That's all we really need to keep Control running. What do we want? We want to be able to attend Epic LAN, because Epic LAN isn't just... I always see Epic LAN, the benefit is always more on the presence and branding side rather than the prize pool side, which I think is equally as important, even if not more. Because realistically, you know, you're going to get, like, what, 20% max from a prize pool from the players if you're actually a nice person. Like, yeah, it's not really going to do you much good. But, oh my lord, the bloody, like... Out. The promotion you get from going to these lands is actually crazy. Also, just the people you meet as well, like Epilanders, Overclockers, Intel. There's also just the Epilan staff. Like, most of their staff are pretty nice, but we have connections. True. Just to speak to those people, you know.
We spoke about sponsors before at 42, and I remember you said, what's it called, like, you know, the meta really isn't, like, you know, going for, like, these bigger brands. It's more about, like, having partnerships with, like, colleges. Like universities.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that, because that's interesting.
I mean, so there's a lot of universities that do these esports courses now.
Yep.
I know a lot of them have facilities. But my one, Stafford Senior, I go to Stafford Senior. So we've got, you know, the arena. A lot of these places will want people to come use their arena to promote it. Mm-hmm. And also, they kind of want to support grassroots as well, because... You know, let's say Control rocks up. I'll just use my uni as an example.
Yep.
Let's say, you know, Control rocks up with the Staffordshire Uni thing on it. We're quite known within the college space because of us starting our Oregon College. I think people are going to be, you know, more inclined to check out that uni if there's an org promoting them that they trust. So it works well for the uni. You know, you can use the uni as your kind of, like, base of operations as well, really. Like, you know, like the uni, Staffordshire Uni has the esports arena. I think... College of Esports have stuff. Confetti and Nottingham have stuff. I think Chichester. I don't really know what they have. But all of these places have the facilities. Like, you know, there's no, like, all these big events, like tier 1 events, and booking out the O2 Arena and things like that. You can be booking out these uni things for a bloody bargain, if I do say so myself. Like, I can't remember off the top of my head, watch it, but it was a pretty good price. And you can be hosting these events, you know, promoting yourself even more.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I think one thing I'm going to try and host an event maybe at the uni next year. Just as, you know, because I'm at the uni, might as well use the shit. But like the equipment they have is absolutely, like, it is actually industry level stuff. There's no point, you know, going.
Is it NSC?
NSC? Yeah. No, that's Will. Will works for NSC now.
Oh, right. No worries. Okay. What uni are you part of, like, that does esports?
So, yeah, I'm with the University of Staffordshire. So, it's in Stoke. Okay. So, it's quite near to Manchester, quite near to Birmingham, which both have airports. So, it's, like, really good location. I'm kind of thinking of maybe doing a Valorant event here, like, having a LAN final here, doing, like, an online qualifier kind of thing, and then having the LAN final here. But all these unis have really good equipment. And I think what a lot of teams in the UK, especially Tier 3, should be utilising, if they want to do events, just going to the unis and be like, yo, I want to do an event. How much is it going to be to rent out the thing? Because I can't remember how much it is, because I get it for free as a student, but it's actually a bargain. Like, I don't know. I don't know why more people aren't booking out these spaces as, like, third-party organisations. Because they'll also... I know with my uni, if you book it out, they ask if you can use students for production. Say yes. They might ask you to pay the students a little bit. The students would be 10 times cheaper than any of the people that are in, like, actual industry. They all know what they're doing because they are using this equipment every day at the uni.
Yep.
I don't know. It looks good for you. You're offering pretty much work experience to people. So it helps with your corporate social responsibility.
True.
And then you're also just making more brand connections with the students. You know, the students are more likely to recommend you or ask you to kind of stay with you after. Yeah, that's why I kind of think the education space is king, especially in esports.
I actually have some ideas myself now for doing that.
Do it. Get it done. Start cooking.
It's nice that, like, there's so many, like, because the most esports, like, classrooms as well, they're so good for, like a boot camp kind of situation.
Definitely,
like,
yeah.
You could just, like, you know, book out like one of those like esports classrooms, like, because they've got really good machines, and what's the call? They've got it set up where you could probably do like get like a 5v5 idea. Well, I've got a really cool idea, but I have to wait. But yeah, it's nice that a lot of teams are actually getting into, because I know Nightblood Gaming in the America, they've got a like a something with like I think it's University of Massachusetts or something like that. But I don't think like you have to like offer so much for like a partnership like scenario. You just have to like, you know, if you can represent the brand and still have something that, you know, how do I put this? Basically, if we use your stuff, we'll put you basically everywhere. But yeah. Oh, did you know we used to be a tournament organizer? But yeah, before Team Wizards.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We were called Blue Skirmish. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I have seen the Twitter just from looking at your Twitter, because I think it's like added on the Team Oasis LTD Twitter has like all the company stuff.
Yeah, Blue Skirmish existed before Team Oasis Esports. God, tournament organization is such an expensive thing. Like, I still think esports is expensive, but if I went back to tournament organizing, it's just so expensive for like prize pools and like, you know, like casters and like, you know, because yeah, I prefer to pay casters and stuff and like, you know, observers, because I feel like, you know, it's fair, because I like to like, you know, pay for like some of the better casters too. We had like a really good guy who did the Valorant Trinity trials as well. He was pretty good, Dutch boy cast, and we had some good people in observing, like in production. But yeah, we were before EVC and Ray Esports. So like we saw them come up, and like I was like, oh, it would have been fun to like compete with them, like back in the day. But
yeah,
we just kind of like gave up, because have I told you? I don't think you know the story, but Challenger Mode basically censored us. So we don't really like Challenger Mode, because there was an incident where Challenger Mode told people that you weren't allowed to advertise the prize pool anywhere on any tournament. And we thought it was weird. Because we noticed that every other tournament was allowed to do it, but because we were the second biggest space on the platform, they basically didn't want us to like promote it, because more people weren't going to their Challenger Mode events, and they were going to us instead. Because have you seen Top Agents, the space?
Yeah.
No one was going to them, and people were going to us because we were, you know, providing like a prize pool, but it was free to enter, but you had to pay the same price for subscriptions to go in the same tournament. Almost. And like it wasn't even casted. But yeah. But it's really fun doing the tournament organization stuff and like setting up the prize pools. We started out in 2v2. And because it was inspired by, have you ever played Wingman?
What, CS Wingman, yeah.
Yeah. We decided to make a Valorant version. And now we used to do that every week. But yeah, we used to like cast it as well. And then we moved on to 5v5 eventually, which was pretty fun. We had an esports organization playing our tournaments as well at one point.
Really?
Yeah, I know, right? But they were actually pretty decent back in the day. But I wonder if they still scam people like back then. But hopefully not. But yikes. But like, what's your plans for like, you know, EVC? I know you've got like a lot of like intent for like production like, and stuff, and like, you know, because like we still have some ideas to go jump back into Valorant like tournaments eventually, but like. Yeah, so what?
My main goal with EVC is, because I think it's got a pretty good foundation, you know, it's quite trustworthy. They've been paying people on time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My main point with EVC is I want to be able to take their, I don't know, just EVC as a whole to the next level. I've been, a lot of the production is going to be done at my uni. And then any days that I can't do at my uni, it's going to be done online with a crew that I've basically handpicked of students.
Yep.
Whole new assets. So like millions of pounds worth of equipment all going into the broadcast. I've been basing a lot of it off tier 2. So we've got replays, we've got live casting, hosts, analysts, observers, we've got people just bloody sat at a lighting desk controlling the lighting. Like, it's going to be a whole new EVC. I think this next one, end of November, I believe it is, yeah. It's going to be absolutely, like, it's going to be phenomenal, and that's going to be the level we're going to keep trying to improve, but that'll be the level it's going to be set at for the rest of the broadcast. Unfortunately, we're not doing the GC event this time around. They're hosting one just before. Hopefully we'll be able to do the next one, but I was just been trying to, you know, kind of get everyone ready for this one before. I kind of had the debt set in stone, so I wasn't able to organize it quick enough to get the GC one, but hopefully be able to take over all the games after that. And then with EVC in general, I don't know, just try and, because it's like AIM's done an amazing job, don't get me wrong. So AIM has pretty much, he's the main person I was speaking to. There's obviously also Licks and Lanox that are also there. They've all done an amazing job with it so far, I think.
Yeah.
So like, yes, it's been great. I think my main priority right now is getting their production to the next tier. I think then it's going to be approaching sponsors and try and get in these sponsor prize pools, and then hopefully maybe middle to late next year we'll have a LAN final somewhere.
Oh, sick. I was about to ask you if you wanted to do a LAN, but yeah, that's cool.
Yes, we had a few offers in regards to that. That's why I mentioned College of Esports. I know that they offered one, but I think we're going to try and do it at my uni just because while I'm here, I can get it for free. So we'll take advantage of it as best we can.
True.
But yeah, hopefully a LAN final. I'm thinking either we do like an upper final, maybe at LAN, and then the grand final, just so we have like three teams. Or we'll just have the grand final LAN. But either or, I don't know. I think both would be good to start with. And then, you know, maybe one day if we can get enough sponsors, we can do, you know, one where it's got every team at LAN. We could kind of have them playing. But obviously that's a dream. But, you know, I just kind of push it to the next level, kind of, because I think it's a really good staple at the moment for the Tier 3. Especially during the off-season, it gets a bit boring when there's no, like, tournaments going on. But, yeah.
True.
Oh, then also with Beacons.
Like,
Beacons is...
Yeah.
Beacons right now, there's not even an official stream. It's been Mickey and that lot doing their own, like, community stream for it, which is a bit annoying that there's no actual stream.
I quite like that there's, like, you know, when there is a stream, because it's good for your branding. Like, it just helps you get your name out.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if there's no stream, what are we benefiting? Because did you know, like, Ireland and that lot all got, like, a LAN final for theirs?
Oh, yeah?
So, like, the Ireland's Beacons tournament had a LAN final. I think so did the one in Denmark. Yeah. But the UK, we didn't even have a bloody stream. Like, I'm not being funny. It's not that much to ask for, really. So, I don't know. I saw a tweet from Bodork or something asking about, he wants to be like an official off-season event, and hopefully we can try and get that with EVC, because I think that'd be good.
So you want to become the official league of UK, to qualify.
I mean, that would be good. Like, if we were the people doing that, I think we'd be able to do it a lot better than. I don't want to slate Neil, because Neil's the people doing it now, but I think even just getting a stream, I think that would just take it to a better level. Thank God for Mickey. Big up Mickey.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name is. I think it's like Mickey Prod or something like that. Mm-hmm. Thank God he's doing these community streams and all the people working on that. Because without them, there'd be no, representation. There'd be nothing to watch. There'd be no real benefit for orgs to be playing in this other than just to try and get to tier two. And I think the day we start kind of, showing off the talent within our UK tier three is the day that it kind of slowly dies off.
Yeah, I can see it, because with tier 3, Valorant, that's the only thing kind of keeping it together, really, because there's a lot of teams out there that you wouldn't know unless you saw it on stream. But yeah, that's literally why we started streaming with Blue Skirmish as well before, because no other organization did it. And then so I'm quite happy that there's still tournaments out there that stream. So. But
yeah,
it's important for not just to have a community stream, because if you have a community stream, you don't actually have the branding of the tournament, so you're just gonna get the guy's audience. You're not gonna get the actual tournament's audience, which isn't good for the team. You just get people watching the streamer for the streamer doing the commentation, really.
Yeah.
You want it so that it's actually on the official account and people know what's on the line, people are tuning in because of that, not because they want to watch the streamer. Want to watch, get people involved because they want to support the team.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I think we're on a good track to making Valorant in the UK better. But I think we've still got a long way to go. I think the things like Ray, the Rainers, and the EBC, you know, it's good stuff during the off season. Allows for some healthy competition, some, you know, extra money towards the prize for earnings. And also, I mean, it's good for talent as well, because they can get their, you know, I think it's like 30 Liquipedia points they need for a Liquipedia page. So it kind of helps get them towards that as well if they're working it. But yeah, I'm glad things like that exist.
Do you think there should be a tier 4? I asked this to a few people.
Probably not. I don't really see the point. I mean, there's definitely... Well, I do and I don't, because there's a skill gap from like the worser teams in tier 3, but I think just that's making a tier 4, there's no point. Like, there's definitely a fat gap between these like FA teams that are competing in the UKC, but I don't know. I think...
Because, hear me out.
It's a hard one.
Because what if, like, you know, tier 4 teams like could be composed of those FA teams? Like, because they're, like, think about EXO versus just some random team that 5 people have decided to set up and they're in, like, you know, platinum or like diamond. Like, you want something like, I just want it to be kind of like a way for like people to like still have like a chance to get, like, you know, practice what's cool without being stomped, like, you know, first thing in the matches. And sure, there is, like, you know, match fixing where people, like, you know, will put people in the right brackets and stuff, but I just want there to be like more of, like, you know, tier 3 could be like, you know, more exclusive, and then tier 4 could be more of like an entry level bit. Like, maybe that sounds like I'm locking it down a bit more, but yeah, what do you think?
I mean, I see where you're coming from. I think tier 3 in general is just not sufficient enough to actually be able to do that. But I do see what I mean. Like, there's definitely a massive like skill gap. But I think in terms of organisations, it's not needed. Like, obviously, you know, we started off with pretty dreadful teams. Sorry, old players, you know. But like, they're definitely nowhere near as good as the ones we have now.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of players, I think it's hard. I think it's harder than ever for players to be able to progress. Because, like, if you're not in an org... or if you're not, like, somehow got lucky with some person finding you ranked, you're just not going to be discovered. Which kind of, I kind of like the whole idea of the, I don't know if you saw it, like the Yari Rising thing.
No, I didn't see it.
But they're kind of doing like that. I guess it's kind of like an academy where they're going to kind of help younger and upcoming talent progress a bit more and get them a bit more well-known. So I kind of like the idea of that. I think tier 4 would be kind of useless because there wouldn't be a prize pool for it. Like, they can only just about afford the prize pool for tier 3. And also think, I don't know, no offense to everyone, but not everyone should win. I think it just drives them to get them even better. I mean, most of the orgs in tier 3, their goal is just tier 2. But there are some like teams in tier 3 where they kind of just pop up out of nowhere. And like you mentioned earlier, those like ranked demon teams where they've just kind of appeared out of thin air.
Yeah, because you've got like stuff like Bulm, Neo Bulm or something, like that appeared in EVC quite a bit, if you remember them. They would like just appear and then smoke people occasionally. But yeah. We used to like see them in Blue Skirmish under a different name, but they're pretty good. I think they're like a Turkish team. But yeah, they're pretty strong. I think Turkish Valorant teams are very strong, so like, it would be nice, what's called, as like a tournament organizer, to see more like, you know, like international, like kind of like skirmishes, in a sense, like, you know, like Northern Europe versus Turkey, or like, you know, some other, like, you know, regions in Valorant.
Yeah,
I think that'd be quite exciting to watch, rather than just waiting for like people to get into like, you know, higher levels of play. I just think it'd be cool because like, in different regions, there's different ways to play the game. So what if, what's it called, like, the skill could develop even more, right, if there was more ways to, like, you know, fight against other teams in other areas. I know that there's a ping difference, sure. But, right, if you... Because, like, Northern Europe, it's not too far from the Benelux region or some other regions. More of the Germanic regions over there. But, yeah.
I think it would be cool to do like regional tournaments kind of thing. Because also there's what's it called, Spike Nations or whatever. But that's kind of just like a mix of content creators, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
But Maybe not. I have some actual players, but I don't know much about it. But I think it'd be cool to see, you know, like a regional event where like there's a qualifier, mm-hmm. kind of like the Red Bull home ground thing, but for tier three. So yeah, Red Bull home ground. There's teams like UCAM and stuff like that where they're tier two, and they kind of just slap every other team in it.
I've actually never been to one of those. I would like to go to one of those. Is it like invite only or something? Like, do you have to qualify? How does it work?
Your team has to qualify through it. So I think we played in it recently. It was during Epilando. But I mean, there's so many teams that play in the qualifiers. Like, oh my days. So many teams. Yeah, I think so. It's online qualifiers. So there's Red Bull home ground, which is it's like a region. So I think you're representing like Northern Europe and maybe a few other countries as well. Can't really remember. I think it's on Wikipedia somewhere, but God knows where. But I think stuff like that's kind of interesting. Like, it's I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, because we, for the old, like, you know, idea with Blue Skirmish back in the day, we wanted to eventually do a tournament called World Skirmish. And we wanted, like, you know, to have, like, international skirmishes, like, in random places and, like, do lands. Like, that was the original, like, game plan. Because I think it'd just be fun to, like, have, like, some weird, like, tournaments that, like, just happened around. Like, not, like, official tournaments, but, like, unofficial tournaments that, like, kind of, like, helped towards something or, like, you know, just, like, gave you more experience as a player, like, you know, not like you didn't have to, like, you know, being like, you know, Polaris or like, you know, Beacons, but it was still another way to get experience, because there's not many lands now, because there was there's only Epic, so yeah
so yeah, there isn't really a many lands with. I think that Enclave one could be a contender. But obviously it's a new one, so they'll have their issues, for the first one. But
what was the one that Epic was calling the copycat or something? Was it that?
Maybe. I'm sure. Enclave is more, in my opinion, it's going to be more like Insomnia, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because it's ran by some of the old Insomnia staff.
So we are at almost the end of the podcast now, and the last bit is the three questions you got to ask me now.
Yeah, they're quite simple. They're not as intelligent as your ones, but how are you feeling in anticipation of the Eclipse tournament that's approaching?
I'm quite confident, to be honest. Yeah, I think we've got quite a big shot at this. The players have done decently well in the past before, and yeah, the fact that they've, you know, like, you know, qualified before in the past is, like, you know, a big sign, like, you know, that we can make lightning strike twice. But yeah, I'm actually quite thrilled to, like, you know, the fact that this team has, like, approached Oasis to represent them in this tournament. So yeah, because it's quite a strong roster. But yeah,
Okay.
The biggest one, what's it called, right, that I think is going to be like, such, like, you know, an interesting matchup is going to be Ruddy Esports. Is it Ruddy or is it Ruddy?
I think Ruddy. I say Ruddy.
All right, yeah, but I think
I think that will be interesting because it's got like a, it's kind of like you guys have split the players in half, really, isn't it?
I feel like no one's realizing that right now. People are making tier lists, but they don't realize that it's like half Yuvecrim, half Sweet and Sour for both, like, rosters, but no one's really noticing that for Oasis. But yeah, I'm curious to see, like, you know, how that's going to go down. Have you played against our team?
Not your new roster, no. I know we've played a scrim, I'm pretty sure, against you guys.
Okay.
Obviously, it's a scrim, like, it doesn't really mean much.
Yeah.
But no, I think even then it wasn't even your full roster. I think it was like a trial or something.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who
are you worried about? Well, not worried.
I mean, I think our closest matches will be against you two. personally. I think you two probably have the strongest roster. I think Scowl's roster is also quite good.
So obviously that's like the extreme
tripwire.
It's nice to see Scowl.
It's because, it's nice. I did message the owner. I was like, oh, it's nice to see you actually, you know, back and stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, kind of just fell into our lap kind of thing. Because obviously the human tripwires, people needed an org. But yeah, I think it's nice to see them back. I do like Scowl. I think Scowl's one of the ones where no one really has beef with them. There's no like you can't hate Scowl. I don't know if that's just me or what, but
I don't know anything about them. That's the thing. I feel like they just keep to themselves, really. But yeah,
I kind of respect that, though, to be fair. But I think yeah, because human tripwires, they've always been consistently in tier two. Like they've been able to hold their spot season after season. So I think they'd be quite a good team as well. In my opinion, I think all the teams are like pretty bloody amazing in this Eclipse thing. So I think it all comes down to like the day. And unless we're playing, then we're winning every bloody game. No, I'm joking. But
I don't know about that one.
I think it's going to be... It's a bit of a shame there's no official streams until, I think, like the semi-finals, but...
Oh, really?
Hopefully there'll be some... It's all going to be community streams again, which is a bit sad. But...
At least there's going to be a stream. Like, there's still going to be a stream, but that's not too...
So, yeah, I think... I know that some casters were asked if they want to stream it and stuff like that, so hopefully there'll be some good streams.
Yeah. Okay. So, the next question?
These are all kind of tied around the Val Eclipse roster. Do you have any predictions? Like, you know, what is your pickems for the thing then?
Control Esports 13-0.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking. Do you mean like results?
Yeah. So, what do you think of the results? You know, who's going to come first, second? Who's going to come third, fourth?
Oh, like the tier list.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me get the tier list. I just want to have all the teams in front of me. All right, give me a second. Because I was looking at teams just a minute ago before we start the podcast. I guess that was an hour ago, but. Right. Okay, I'm gonna say I think our team's gonna get to Polaris. Like I think Ruddy is gonna get to Polaris. I think you guys are gonna get to Eclipse. I think, what was the other team? They were a really good team. I'm just trying to find it now. I think Go Next will be 7th, I'd say. This King Esports seems like a wild card, you know? This King Esports one. Like, I feel like it's like they're gonna be quite unpredictable. I think TSC officials, I think they're gonna get grouped. Unless maybe they get the 7th. Like I could see them maybe 8th, but then again Colace, I can also see them doing quite well. I just don't like, I'm surprised Polaris was called 11 win with Waken. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they knew, because do you remember seeing the original announcement? Like the on the actual Polaris page, it said like King Haz was still on their roster. I'll try and find it. So where is it?
Yeah, it did. Yes. You're right.
Ooh. Yeah, look, welcome to Curlis to Eclipse. King Haz. And they've now subbed him out. So I'm thinking that they did not know that Waken was making a return, but don't know. We'll see. Obviously, you know, not up to me.
Yeah.
But well, he's a great player, but
yeah,
obviously he made a mistake. I'm not going to give my opinion on it because it would get twisted either way. But we'll see. We'll see what their reaction is, because I'm guessing they didn't know, because otherwise I don't know why they'd announce Coalesce's roster as that if they knew. But we'll see.
I think RTZN Esports was interesting. Where was that thing again? Because I remember.
Oh yeah, he was on that one. I can't actually remember. Oh, that's like Drog and stuff like that, isn't it?
Just checking now.
Drog, Brady, Autumn.
I don't post much. Wow. The last time they posted was in June.
Who was that one?
RTZN.
Is them and Net Services? I'm Kingy. I've not really heard much about, to be honest.
I think Kingy's a wild card. RTZN. Pure is an interesting one. I think Pure might do somewhat okay. I think. But then again, I don't know. RTZN. Ah, yes. I think it's pronounced Brady, but you know what's called? We were gonna sign Apino Orchestery. I think that's how you say it. Have you heard of that team?
Yeah, they're a good team, yeah.
Yeah, we before Rec Room approached us, we did we were in talks with Apino as well, but we never sealed anything. Like, I just decided not to approach and finish the deal, and then I was like, nah, I think we'll sit this one out for a bit. And then later Rec Room approached us with a full roster. The problem is when Apino approached us, they didn't have a full five stack, so we did we feel comfortable just going straight in. But
yeah,
when Requiem slash one sweet and sour player approached us, it felt a little bit better, because then we had a full team to basically say, hey, we're a team and we have a roster to play in, clips. And also they were already invited as well as the core, so yeah, that definitely helped.
Yeah.
What about this Lil Mix team? Very is that Sweden?
Oh, I can't remember. Little Mix. Honestly, can't remember. Maybe.
Picture the monkey. They got the logo of a monkey.
Oh yeah, they're a Swedish organization. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, I think they were the ones that qualified in the Swedish National League. Yeah. I was gonna say, a lot of the UK teams qualify through Premier.
There's not too.
But yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the whole region split up as well? Because obviously, last time, it all of Northern Europe was doing a beacon circuit together, and now it's all split up into the individual regions.
Don't you think there's a lot of UK teams in Foul League right now? You think about it, Control, you've got Waste, you've got EXO.
Twisted Saints as well.
Yes, you've got, what's it called? Is it Pure? Does Pure count as well?
Pure, yeah, Pure is. NXT is also.
Yeah.
I think they are, yeah. Coalesce, obviously. Scowl, Ruddy, Oasis.
Yeah, that's
most of them, obviously, only Pure went through the National League. All the, so what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 6 teams that qualified Premier are UK based.
So how did that qualification system work? Cause from what I thought before, is I thought that it was based on to qualify for Premier, you had to win Premier. Or do you have to just place it close to first? Or was that separate like, leagues?
But yeah, so Premier was still all of Northern Europe. So then you have to come, I think it was, yeah, top six from Premier.
Right, or... okay. I thought it was top one.
Top six Premier. So yeah, last time, last Eclipse, it was like the first, like it was like Premier was different last time. It was like there was different, there was loads of different brackets, but this time it was only one big bracket for all the teams. So this time it had to be top six, and then the other time it was like the winner of six brackets. And then, yeah, so then obviously one team from each thing.
Of the national leagues, but yeah, I think they're four invite teams, obviously.
Now we've got our 16 Prem teams. Not Prem teams, like Eclipse teams.
Yeah, I feel like they could have lowered that number. I don't know, I feel like, you know, maybe top three, or maybe top three, I'd say. But yeah, I just feel like top six is kind of like, you know, there's like too many UK teams, I feel like.
I mean, there's also already, there's already six teams in Polaris already. So it'll be interesting to see who they are.
Oh, have they not been revealed yet?
No, they still haven't been announced. I think I know a few of them.
Well, let's see what they were last time. Clearly some people got invited before. So we can see who won the last one.
Because in my mind, I think it's going to be Meta Support and Formulation are still there.
Yeah.
Even though they were towards the bottom spectrum last time, but because they're still orgs, and obviously they weren't trying to compete in anything else. They weren't trying to compete in the National Leagues or Premier, so I think they're still there. I'm fairly sure I heard something about EXO being invited back. Not back, but invited in. But I don't know why that would make sense if they're playing...
No, that can't be true. Because if they're in Eclipse, that wouldn't make any sense. They wouldn't just play Eclipse as well if they were invited into Polaris.
Yeah. I'll say it, mate. EXO's new team as well. Vitti and Batty as well.
I think only Finns are going to be in Polaris.
But they can't. They're not an org.
What?
Yeah, you have to be a registered company to play in Polaris now as well.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, unless they've found... Oh, no, they can't be, because, yeah, Ale's on a different team now.
Right, okay.
I'm looking. Yeah, I think they've all split up. Unless maybe the core of them found an AWP and they've maybe got some new players. Requiem's obviously with you guys, as well as Sweet and Sour. They've all kind of... whatever. Apex qualified. Appen Orchestry is also signed, as is the old NXT roster, which is Human Tripwires. Formulation, yeah. So I think Formulation and Metasport have gone through. I'm guessing Formulation have maybe gone through with their roster from last season.
Curious who the others are.
No, wait, because the guy from Formulation plays for Pure now. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see, but...
Is it,
yeah, because there's only orbs.
They're
just EMEA now.
Okay, so that means no one has to worry about Apex, because that was like, you know, the...
Yeah, I think hopefully it will be a lot closer now.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay. Who's in Ascension right now? I want to see. What was last Ascension like? Because we had like the Ultimates, CGN Esports, Pacific Esports. Oh, had Barcelona Esports. That's cool. Job Life. Go Next Esports. The other team. DSYRE, SAW. Wow. That's exciting. But yeah. Well, it's anyone's game.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I am quite excited to watch, I can't lie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess that'll bring me on to my last question. You know, what are your plans if you make it? Or if you don't make it, you know. I mean, I think it'll be unrealistic, but...
Yeah, if we make it. Well, if we make it, we're in the Polaris kickoff. Which I'm curious how that works. Like, so you're in. So it kind of sounds like you're just in Polaris, basically.
Yeah, I think you are, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. From the sounds of it, because it just says kickoff. So that basically just.
I don't know. I don't know why they called it kickoff. I think.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about.
I don't really know why they've just called it kickoff. I think it is. I guess kickoff to the new season, but yeah, it definitely is to the Polaris thing.
I suppose I'd just be helping my players really pretty much, and like just, you know, trying to be there for them and like, you know, like offer them resources. But yeah, there's always like so much you can do, like, you know, when you're in like a Val League as well, like, because like at a tournament, what's called Epic, there's like stuff you can provide in terms of like services, but it's just more like, you know, thinking of what we can do as an org to like benefit our players more.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I don't really know. I know we want to get there, but like, I suppose it would be good to like, you know, with brand deals. I guess that would help. Like, we could say like, oh, we were in this like league and we got to Polaris, so that's good. And the cool thing is, once we get to Polaris as well, we can like work with the you know, the Rec Room, like, you know, and Sweet and Sour like mix that we have now, you know, and like just like basically just help them be a permanent like organization with them. And yeah, because I don't see, like, you know, I don't see the roster like changing or anything, like, because Rec Room stayed as a team for quite a long time, from what I can gather, because the only reason like Rec Room ended, from what I found out, is that there was like a lack of money, so like it kind of like hurt them in the end. But it's just like, I just need to find ways to like manage my organization and like get some more revenue in, just to like
kind of, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't really know like how to like say this, but I just want more ways, like, you know, not to like burn the organization down, because it's such a slippery slope for a lot of TOs. Like we've all seen like organizations like just fall apart in like a matter of weeks. But yeah, and like Epic LAN was called, like, was a bit scary. It was called After 42, because I realized I spent like way too much, and it's just like, you know, trying to make sure, like, you know, I don't like have to worry about paying for like these like Valorant lands, but also still having something for the players. Like,
yeah, definitely.
It's just about being sustainable. That's what I want to do. I'm not too worried about, you know, like I'm investing in grand moves, because yeah, I've had a lot of like talks with people about like how to improve the organization, and the main thing, like, you know, that advice I've received is like more about, like, you know, not making moves. Making moves is great, but the main criticism I get is that I need to, like, you know, develop the moves as well. Like, I need to, like, you know, build upon them. Like, you know, let's say I sign a player. Let's say I sign like this Smash player, and sure, they're on the team. No, he's on the team. What do I do next? Well, like, they're just sitting there. You've got, like, you know, find a way to, like, you know, incorporate them into the brand and, like, you know, turn them into like a superstar. Like,
yeah, because definitely.
It's all good, like, saying, oh, what's it called? Like, because no one knows about your organization until you promote the player, really, as well. Because a lot of people might know the player, but they won't know you. They might just think, like, the you know, the Oasis part is just part of your, like, you know, their tag. And even if they do see you in a jersey, what's cool is, yeah, it's very unlikely that they'll check you out unless, what's called, you become a big part of that player's presence. Like, you have to, like, build up the player as well for people to go, oh, this team's really helping this player, you know, this team is doing that and stuff, like, but yeah. But what would you, like, for, like, a waste, what would you, like, you know, give advice for?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably, yeah, similar to what you would say as well. Like, it is just about building something that's going to be, like, self-sufficient, kind of. Because that's what we're trying to work on as well. Because it's like, Epic LAN is no, like, cheap cost, especially not for an org if you're paying for most of it. Mm-hmm. But you still want to be able to, like, offer these players something. Like, you know, even if they join you, like, oh, you know, we don't want anything. You want to be able to provide something for them. You know, you want to do stuff for them. And I think supporting that, always try and find ways to make it so that these events are actually, rather than just a massive cost, they make the most out of it. So I think at the moment, next, like, whenever we next bring a team to land, we're going to try and absolutely, like, grind content. It's the only way it's going to make it, like, self-sufficient. Like, it's the best way to do it. Just grind as much content as you can. Like, even just, like, borrowing a camera, like, I mean, phones now, you can just use them. They're literally shooting 4K anyway.
Content's so hard to make money off because you've got to get to a point where you can, like, be eligible for revenue. That's the only, like, downside.
Yeah, but I think it's just being, like, you got to be consistent so you get, like, so you can get to that point, though.
True. It's a long road, but, yeah, it's definitely worth it down the line. And also, sponsors love it, but, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's two paths of revenue. The one I want to work on is having, like, another, like, form of, like, business on the side that can support the team, which is also Polar Flow. That's a big one for me. And if I had a way to, like, kind of support my, so Polar Flow is a, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like a jersey company we're working on. It's basically, we're offering a way for teams to, like, you know, have jerseys produced by us using their own designs, or we can make a design for them as well. But that's like an independent service for that. But yeah, we just don't like that the fact that there's not many, like, people that offer jerseys for quite a cheap, like, price, and we think it's kind of, like, shady that a lot of, like, you know, people are overcharging for jerseys. Like, because if you have to wait 48 days for a jersey, there's no point buying the jersey because that player didn't go to the event wearing your brand, and there was a missed opportunity. But yeah. But yeah, I guess yeah, if I had Polar Flow as, like, a really good, like, resource, you know, like, I just had, like, you know, it's just another stream of income for my team, and I just, but yeah, it'd be interesting where, like, contracts go with, like, you know, signing teams and stuff later down the line, because I've heard rumors that Valorant does like some stuff with that, with, like, you know, like, teams as they get, like, higher up in tiers. Is that true?
Oh, what would they do? What?
Like, apparently, like, Valorant kind of helps with, like, funding and stuff. Like, the higher up you get.
I'm not really quite sure, but I don't know. Maybe I know that they'd probably. I think they help players a lot more with, like, contract wise and ensure, like, a fair.
Yeah.
Contract for all the players and stuff, but yeah, I don't know about funding. But I mean, the higher up you go, sponsors are probably going to be more than willing to pay for the better players and stuff and put money towards it. So it's like Apex now. Like, you know how Apex was, like, a scrim partner with Liquid, but now, you know, them themselves are in tier one. Like,
that's quite a cool deal, actually. It's like, you know, it goes back to what's called, like, you know, it doesn't. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway, on that note, I'm going to end the show because we have been on the show for about an hour and 50 minutes. So yeah, that's going to be one of our longer ones, but yeah, it's good to be back. Thank you for coming on the show. Asterix.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. On Twitter. Just search up Control Ben, you'll probably find me. Or, you know, just go follow the Control Esports on every platform.
Yeah.
Probably see me posted on there with my awful haircut, but it's fine.
All right. Well, have a good night, everyone.